OffSec Podcast. I'm your host, TJ Nall, and I'm the Community Manager for Offensive Security. In this episode, we wanted to focus on cybersecurity awareness. For those of you that do not know about Cybersecurity Awareness Month, the main objective is to raise cybersecurity awareness nationally and internationally. Now, cybersecurity may seem like a complex subject, right? Ultimately, it's really about people. As current or future security cybersecurity professionals, it's important to ensure all individuals and organizations make smart decisions, whether on the job, at home, at school, now in the future. We need to find ways to continue to spread awareness on how we can be able to protect ourselves online. So for this episode, I wanted to bring in a special speaker, and his name is Christopher Forte. Chris is an infrastructure engineer at Offense Security and has done some really wicked stuff in the cybersecurity industry. Some things he has done is he's red teamed for the city of Los Angeles. He's a DEF CON speaker, and he has hosted training events for multiple intelligence agencies. So let's welcome Chris to the stage and get ready to learn from his experiences. Chris, it's great to have you here, and welcome to the OffSec Podcast.
Oh, thanks for having me. This will be fun.
So, Chris, the first question I want to ask you is, you know, what piqued your interest in joining in the information security field?
Ooh, I have to say probably DEF CON and Capture the Flags. I've always been in technology. My background's in computer science and software development. But I remember going to my first DEF CON, I think it was like 6 or 7 years ago, and just being completely overwhelmed with what I was exposed to. I had no idea what people were doing. The people doing the CTFs, they may have been, you know, doing magic, like just completely beyond what I, kind of the scope of my knowledge. And I was amazed at what some of the puzzles people were solving, whether it would be the badge challenges or these challenge coins or, you know, different challenges posted by villages. And it was just, it was incredible. That was actually the catalyst for me signing up for my OSCP was just to be better at hacking challenges and CTFs. Like I just wanted that fundamental knowledge, and like it was the best option out there for like just, you know, jumping in the deep end on this kind of stuff. Once I started, I just became obsessed, and I've, you know, been doing it ever since.
That's really awesome to hear. So DEF CON really played a huge role of you getting into this field. What were some resources that you used to help actually get started?
I'd say probably other Capture the Flags and really the hacking community, the security, the information security community. I had been kind of surrounded by people that were more involved in DEF CON, or, you know, the badge creators or some of the people creating these challenges or other speakers. And they were a really great resource. And then recently I kind of started my own community. So I run the local DEF CON group in Las Vegas, so the DC702. And it just became one of the best resources for keeping me in it and keeping me motivated and exposing me to new stuff. So I think that was probably the best resource, was just the community, to be honest with you.
That's really awesome. So being active in the community, being active in DEF CON really kind of gave you some resources to help you get started to learn more about the stuff that's there. You know, as you've been going through a lot of these different things, why do you think people need to worry about information security?
Oh, man. Well, our lives are just run by technology, whether it's how we communicate, how we bank, shop, secure our homes. Technology is at the core of all of it, and it's becoming more and more networked. With how much we rely on technology, we really need to take information security seriously, whether it's within the scope of our work, so our careers, or, you know, our at-home lives. It's just playing more and more a role. I mean, we see every day on the news a new breach or a new product being exploited. It's just getting closer and closer to home. So I think we're past due on really caring about it.
Yeah, I think we really need to start focusing and paying more attention to the things that we go through in our daily lives and what we do, and also find ways to protect ourselves. And that goes around, you know, with some security awareness training, right? And so from your perspective, what do you think is the most important security awareness training topic that someone should focus on? I mean, of course, they should focus on all the above, you know, whether it goes to like physical, social stuff online, as I would say, or even just, you know, securing the accounts that you have. But what do you think is your, from your perspective?
Ooh. I'm probably going to go with credentials and phishing. I mean, obviously, like you said, you have to really take all of it into consideration, because whatever you don't take into consideration is probably going to be what what gets you. So, you have to be a little bit aware of what's going on in the world and how people are being exploited. But I see credentials, like credential management, how you handle passwords, and then kind of phishing. I mean, they kind of go hand in hand, but they make a huge impact, and they're kind of across the board. No matter what kind of technical background you have, they can be relevant. So, I mean, like phishing is one of the most common attacks out there. Every organization considers it a huge threat, and it really affects everyone, whether you're at work or at home. So being more aware of like how these phishing tactics work, or what, at least what red flags to watch out for, can really help you. Sometimes people just need to be aware, like, hey, if you get these, double check where it's coming from. Like that's enough for a lot of people to avoid getting those weird letters in the mail that your bills are overdue, or the weird SMS messages that your internet bill is overdue, or one of these kind of messages that a lot of people may take for granted because they're not aware that that's a thing out there. So between that and just being smarter with your passwords, I see that being a huge issue across a lot of people.
So I'm gonna throw an extra question in here to ask you. Have you ever been affected by, let's say a phishing email that you got, or, did you, in the situation that happened, did you lose an account or lose something that was personal to you? Because I have a story I could share, but I was just wondering if you had one.
Yeah, I think we all have fun.
Yeah.
Yeah, I fell for a Discord one once, and that was not fun. We were able to get everything back, but it was a real pain.
Yeah.
It was a different. That's a good example of it was something that I hadn't seen before, and it kind of just the stars aligned. Like I was super stressed. I was tired. I wasn't browsing the internet. Well, I guess we could say
Yeah.
wasn't really paying attention to what I was doing, and then after the fact, I'm like, "Wow, you're an idiot." But it really just goes to show, like, no matter how involved you are in the infosec world, like, if you're not 100% vigilant with what you're doing or what you're watching out for, you're not staying up on these different types of attacks. Like, it can bite you.
Yeah. No, I agree with that. I mean, there's some companies and some, hacking groups that are out there that really try to make a lot of these phishing emails, these text messages that they send out, they try to make them super legit so that, as a person, you look at it and it's like, oh, it's actually real. I'm gonna go ahead and click on it, right? I'm gonna touch it, but then you don't know the after effects that happen. And it takes time for people to actually detect that and identify that, oh, they got my password to this account. They got some things that, belong to me personal as well too in those situations. I can remember a time, this kind of doesn't relate to phishing, but I was in fifth grade. I remember playing, did you ever play a game called RuneScape? So I remember playing RuneScape, and they were always big about people will phish you for your password. They will try to get access to your account. Do not give your password to them. And there was a user I remember playing in the game that was said that they were from the US Army, and they said that they could help me level up my account, and all I had to do is give them my password. And I didn't want to believe it at first, but then, the person kept persuading and persuading, and I was like, okay, you know what? I'll give him my password to my account. And sure enough, he changed the password. I lost my account. It took me a couple weeks for the RuneScape developers to actually get my account back, and then, give me a warning. It's like, hey, make sure you don't ever do this again. If you do it again, you get banned. I was like, oh. But that made me kind of be more aware about the things I give out, right? The things that I share, or the things I subscribe myself to. That's a lesson that I've learned, in that situation.
Yeah, it happens to everyone. It's kind of unavoidable to not be exposed to it. So it's pretty important stuff.
So going to my next question here then, what are some of your recommendations for a person to improve their information security, or, the things that they deal with out there?
I mean, one of the things that I recommend a lot of people to do is use a password manager, and really trust no one on the internet. This is coming from, trying to get people who are non-technical to be better with their accounts or kind of improve their information security. So obviously, depending on like what you're technical background is or what your job is. There's a lot of other things you can do, but like a really great way to just, start off on a good foot is to use a password manager. There's a lot of things that it does for people that they don't really realize when they're using it. So, I mean, obviously it helps you track your passwords. So that can help you not do like credential reuse. So the password that you've been using for the past, 15 years, like get rid of those, use unique passwords. Like one person can't remember all of their unique passwords for all of the platforms you use. Like it's just not going to happen. You're not going to remember hundreds of random passwords. So password managers help you track that. They remove some of the bias around password creation. So, stop using like your first dog with the year you were born and a couple exclamation points. So password managers can really help with that. But I mean, they do cool things now. So like I use 1Password. It validates what I'm logging into. So if I'm browsing the internet, it won't autofill on websites that it hasn't seen before for that account. So that's like an immediate kind of feedback on whether or not you're, giving an attacker your credentials. And then a lot of the password managers, they report on compromised passwords. So if it's been included in a breach, it'll tell you. Like that's another great tool to leverage. It can manage your two-factor authentication. So like it can all just be included in one place so that you're not scrambling for text messages or emails or, 4 different authentication apps. So it really has a lot of value. I mean, it's not even just passwords. You can store important documents. So, your social or I don't know, your car insurance, like things that you may not want someone to see stored in plain text on your phone or your computer. So people who get used to using it and like put it into their workflow, like it can be very advantageous. It is a little bit of a pain for some people. Like I think people are always going to try to find the most convenient path through a task. Sometimes it's not a password manager, but if you get used to it and you learn how to use the application, like it can really make a huge difference and not be that cumbersome. So that's usually the big recommendation to start out with when I talk to people.
That's some good advice. So another question I wanted to kind of bring up is that why do you think humans are still the weakest link despite the security training and the resources that we give out today?
I mean, people are complex. We're emotional. We're able to be deceived. We usually try to find the easiest path through accomplishing something. And we're a constant in nearly every environment. Like environments don't really exist without people. And if you look at different types of attacks, like a lot of them rely on the users, like phishing, you see hackers playing into people's fears or financial motivations or your inattentiveness. So, I mean, that'd be a huge thing. Password attacks, a lot of them rely on easy passwords that are, already on password lists or can be easily guessed or reused across different platforms. Same thing with like physical security. A lot of physical security systems are compromised by user error, whether it's, improper installation or, you try to find a workaround to make your life easier, like propping open doors or writing down door codes or, not locking things properly. So a lot of it just relies on people being, I don't want to say lazy, but trying to make their lives easier. Mm-hmm. So we even see that with network attacks. Like a lot of network attacks could be largely mitigated through like better segmentation or more access or more mature access control methods or, some of these different modern processes, but, it makes it harder for people developing, maintaining and using the environment. So we don't do it or we find workarounds. We add additional boxes to jump through or save credentials in places or, write scripts. So a lot of that gets compromised and a lot of it has to do with users. I mean, even look at the big Uber attack, like that was another user was exploited. That was more of just an annoyance to that user until they gave in from like the initial report. So I think people are going to continue to be the weak link. Like obviously we're going to see different vulnerabilities in systems. I mean, some of that comes back down to the developers. So we're back to people being the weak link in a system. But computers are going to do what we tell them to do. And a lot of times people are too, but with a little less logic involved. So I think we're just going to continually be the weak link, the ones being targeted.
I can agree with that. And that's some really great points that you mentioned as well, too, to it. I mean, it's always going to be a constant discussion of how we can try to improve people's security awareness for the things they go through, right? Or how they respond to some of the threats that are out there. It's always going to be a challenge that we're going to have to face.
Yeah. I mean, I think the big one is people just have to be willing to kind of grow a little bit, like be a little bit more security minded. So, I mean, we see it all the time where they're like, hey, we want to implement this system or this process or this tool. And then you get a lot of pushback because it makes their job more difficult. But I mean, that's really like a culture issue. Like if they see the value in it and the information security teams or the organization can justify the increase in difficulty for the benefit. Like if the people doing the work say, yeah, this is a value, I can see how this prevents, you know, all of these terrible consequences. Organizations can be a lot better off. But when they just say, hey, do this, it's a requirement, and then they leave it at that, like a lot of people will fight it because they don't see the value. So hopefully we see a little bit more of a culture shift where people are willing to put a little bit more time into security. But I mean, everyone knows like security is at odds with convenience usually. So it's just going to cost a company money, and it's going to make people's lives more difficult if it's, you know, in most cases. I mean, obviously there's exceptions, but as long as people realize that there's value there, I think we're going to be a lot better off.
So, as cybersecurity professionals, right, trying to do our part as we try to secure the systems, the different networks that are out there, what can we do to help others? What do you think are your, what are some of your recommendations or tips of how, as cybersecurity professionals, we can push others to be more secure?
I think just raising awareness, to be honest with you. Like you're not going to help everyone, and you're not going to teach everyone everything they need to know to be secure online. But as long as you can make people more aware that those risks are out there, or try to explain the root cause of the issue, like, oh, your password was compromised and someone gained your account because you used the same password over the past 10 years across, you know, 10 different platforms. So one was compromised, all of them were compromised. Now they immediately see, like, oh, I could have limited the blast radius, or I could have prevented this issue for me by just doing something different. That makes sense. Versus if you just say, hey, use different passwords, use complex passwords, remember them all, end of story. A lot of people will be like, well, that's just going to make my life harder, so I'm not going to do that. But if you start with like trying to get people to understand the like the root cause, or just be aware of like why things are happening to them, like I think it can go a long way.
I think that's some solid advice that you give. So I want to move more into some, I want to focus on some the mentoring stuff that you do, right? With that, with the DEF CON group that you have. You know, is there a reason why it interests you to help out in that DEF CON group to help teach people? Is there like a passion that you have out of curiosity?
I guess it's because I know the value in having people who you can look up to and have that mentor relationship with. When I was first getting into it, I definitely had a few people who I would consider mentors, and they really made a huge difference in my life. So, I mean, I guess for me, I might consider myself less of a mentor and more of just like a community builder. I guess some of the imposter syndrome coming out, I don't really consider myself good enough to be like a mentor in any one InfoSec discipline. But I feel like I can bring people together and kind of provide an environment that allows for growth. And then people can kind of latch on to other professionals in the field that they're interested in. So, like, I don't know anything about hardware hacking, but some of the people in our group do. And we have some people who are really interested in car hacking who may not be super strong on certain hardware hacking techniques. So, like, they gravitated towards each other and they do some really cool stuff together and collaborate. And like that was more of like my goal, is just to give people the ability to find other people that have the same interests. Yeah, I think that's probably why I do it. It's just to help people get exposed to different topics and find other people.
That's awesome. So for people, let's say for instance, for people that are coming into the field, you know, do you think it's important for others in the InfoSec community to share their knowledge? And if you think that, where do you think they should start? How do you think they should be able to share?
I mean, I still think being a part of a community is probably one of the most important things you can do if you're interested or involved in like the hacking or information security world. And that really relies on people willing to share their knowledge. Like those communities don't exist if people just keep it to themselves. That's one of the reasons why I love my local community so much. And I know there's a lot of other cities and areas that have these groups, and they have the same kind of sentiment. But and we have so many talented people, and they all have different areas of expertise, and they're all willing to help and share information. And that resource is just, it's incredible. I mean, you can see an example of it with a lot of teams who are really good at CTFs or who are really kind of accomplished. Like they have a well-balanced team. They all have their different areas of expertise, and they're all willing to kind of share information with each other. And as a team, they're much more effective than people who kind of work on their own or, you know, are kind of siloed. I mean, I know recently I had like a project that required some like hardware hacking stuff. Mm-hmm. Like I said, it's one of my weak points. I'm not great with hardware. But we had people who were really good with hardware, and I could go ask them a question, and they saved me probably weeks of time not having to go down these rabbit holes or, you know, go buy a book on the fundamentals of hardware or circuitry. And not only did I get through my project, but, you know, it was a great experience to learn enough to get through something that I may not be really interested in pursuing in the long run, but it was a requirement of a project that I was working on. So, you know, that InfoSec community and being a part of it and finding people who want to share, it can save you so much time and pain.
I agree with that. And I think that's great that you have, you know, people in your community that are able to help share their knowledge on, you know, certain topics that you're going through or challenges that you have. And, you know, you mentioned another great thing is being part of a CTF team, right? You're able to share knowledge and collaborate with others that, you know, you've never met before, but still you get to learn with each other going yeah. through those things. And I think that's very beneficial to have, and even to be able to share that stuff outside with others that want to learn.
Yeah. I mean, I know a lot of people have, like sometimes they have to step outside their comfort zone to go socialize. So, mm-hmm. Like I'm a very antisocial person, but I made it like an effort. Like every week we have a meetup, and we go meet. And a lot of times it's, you know, sitting there talking to people I've never met with before or have different interests in. But I mean, it's always like a really beneficial process of just learning from other people, getting a different perspective, or creating little CTF teams or starting new projects. Or we're actually hosting our own CTF in the next few weeks. So that brought in a whole new process of getting the community involved and getting another perspective on like the challenge creation part of it. Mm-hmm. So we're just always doing cool things. And like that, you know, that process is, I think, really important. It's kept me motivated. I know it's kept a few other people motivated. Definitely prevented a few people from being discouraged and quitting. So I know there's a lot of people who come in from different fields. So there's been this huge shift that cybersecurity industry needs more people. So a lot of people are jumping from their previous career paths into the new one. Mm-hmm. I've seen a lot of people jump into it and be like, oh my goodness, this is overwhelming. And then they quit. Being a part of a community can really help with that because they can kind of steer you in the right direction or answer some of the questions or make it a little less overwhelming. So there's just so many benefits to just being involved, having people who may hold you accountable or get you involved in things you wouldn't be involved in otherwise. So it's definitely a worthy thing to jump into.
It's definitely a worthy feeling. And I could say, you know, for me being a part of the community and being around a long time, things like that, you know, you building out challenges, mentoring, sharing knowledge, sometimes it may go unnoticed, but I also appreciate seeing people take the time out of their day, you know, to go through these things and share the knowledge that they have, but also to mentor others, even people who are getting in this field. And that's a passion that I want to continue as well, kind of like what you have.
I think the other note that I always tell people is like, regardless of how experienced you think you are, like there's things that you know that none of us know. So even if you're not like comfortable sharing information, like I feel like you should just do it. And even it like with CTS, for example, a lot of people will post walkthroughs. I find them incredibly valuable because even if I solve the challenge, I can go read someone else's walkthrough and get a different perspective on how they solved it. Maybe they solved it better and more effectively, or they use different tools. And they may not, you know, have the same experience as me, but, you know, they found a really clever solution to something. So I tell people, like, if you want to learn more and contribute, like, regardless of how much knowledge you have in a subject, like, write a write-up or publish a paper. And even if you think it's been said before, like, you could say it differently. And that different way of saying it could really help someone understand that concept better, or could really kind of align with someone more effectively. So that process of just sharing information, regardless, you don't have to be an expert in something. You just have to, you know, maybe bring a different perspective. Like, that can be so valuable. It really builds a great community. And luckily, that's one of those things that our community is really good at, is, you know, posting different perspectives or posting solutions. Like, five of us could solve a challenge completely different. Look at what the other person did, and it's like, wow, you know, we completely missed all of these different things. And, you know, it really facilitates growth and learning. That's super important.
Yeah, no, I agree with that. I mean, even I like to see people's write-ups where they fail on certain things, right? Or, you know, they tried this tool, but this tool doesn't work, but they found a way to use this tool. Write-ups like that, I think, are very beneficial, so that people can understand, you know, when they're going through a situation where they're using that same tool, they can see why it doesn't work. Or they can also try to find alternative ways to make things work with the other stuff that's out there. So the points that you hit, I think, are spot on. And I totally agree with what you say earlier.
Oh, yeah. I mean, there's definitely been times where I read someone's write-up and they've included like a failure in their process. Mm-hmm. And I'll read it and I'll be like, oh, wow, that could have been used that way. And they just missed this little thing, or they just didn't take it they didn't take it far enough, or and then you can go back and like reiterate and be like, oh, I see you solved it, but you know, you missed this tool's feature that's really cool. Or I don't know, there's just so much value regardless if it's a success or a failure. There's always something to be gained from it.
No, I agree with that. And the other thing too is, for our listeners, I encourage you all, if you are writing a blog post, if you are putting something together, include the failures or the issues that you've ran into, you know, during the process that you have. You know, seeing those types of things really can open up other people's eyes into the situations you're going through, and maybe other people in the community can be able to help you out in those situations as well. So, Chris, I have one more question I want to ask you, and this is a question I usually ask every speaker who is on the OffSec podcast, and that question is, outside of InfoSec, are there any hobbies or things you'd like to do?
Ooh. Well, I'm really into rock climbing. Mm-hmm. That's one great way for me to get away from my computer. It's hard to be on your phone or computer when you're halfway up of a cliff, so
yeah,
like forced removal from computer environment. Other than that, I'm really into like physical security stuff. So lock picking and like some of those other security access devices. So always love sitting down with a lock that I haven't been able to open before and try to figure it out. Or like, we run our local tool chapter, the Open Organization Lock Pickers. So it's another group that we can all share locks with. And it's always nice getting new locks that you haven't seen before, or you know, you can't open, and finally being able to get it open. But yeah, rock climbing and locks, I guess we're going to go with those.
That's awesome, though. I'm really glad that you get to do something, you know, step away from the computer, but also get to break into stuff for fun and climb things to the highest point you can get to.
Yep.
Well, Chris, I would say thank you for being here. I appreciate you taking the time to be here. Do you have any final thoughts or things that you want to share for the listeners who are listening to this episode?
Well, thank you for having me on the episode. This is my first podcast, so that's pretty cool. No, I think the takeaway here is just go find your community, whether it's the OffSec one, which is a fantastic community, or a more localized one. Like, it's definitely helpful.
I couldn't agree more with that. Thank you for sharing those final thoughts. I really do appreciate that, Chris. So to our listeners, thank you for taking the time to listen to this episode. We hope you enjoyed it and were able to gain some value from it. Be sure to check out Offense Security's website for more information on these topics, courses, or future stuff that we have going on by going to offensive-security.com.